This morning is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the time Christ died for the ungodly, indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. New Testament scripture that I alluded to is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 10, chapter 10, verse 14. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not take a road leading to the Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Jesus sends his disciples out on a missionary journey. What to take? What to pack? The packing list is unusual in that it's framed more by what not to take than what to take. No gold, no silver, no copper, no money, no bag. The only tunic you could carry is the one that you're wearing. What a contrast between the disciples' journeys and family trips growing up. For the last 17 years of Dad's career, he was a 12-month teacher. I've mentioned that before. He was an agriculture teacher. In the summer, he was building a curriculum, visiting all the farms in the area, and then planning farm visits for the fall and spring. He'd have to go to FFA camp. He'd have to go to national events for the FFA. He'd take 1 week off in the summer, and quite often we'd use that for a trip. Once to see friends all the way out in Rochester, Minnesota. And due to my father's health, we had to bring a lot of stuff with us. Dad had progressive rheumatoid arthritis, diagnosed in his mid-30s, and his life would never be the same. The arthritis ate through his joints, and they reduced a formerly 6-foot-tall, rugged farm boy into a hobbling, weak man. He got to 55, which was then teacher's retirement, with walking down the hard floors on the side of his foot, like his ankle almost touching the ground as he walked, so he could get that pension, get that retirement. On camping trips, early on, we'd take a full-size mattress so that he could sleep on it, because the ground was just not going to work. We had a Chevy wagon for those trips, those early trips, and he'd take a fairly large locking metal tackle box filled with the many pills he was prescribed to take each day. One day he opened it up in front of my 5-year-old self, and I said, "Dad, what's all that stuff in that box?" And he said, "Steve, I'm on drugs." And it took me a while to get my head around what he was trying to say. Early on, Dad was responsible for packing the car, but as his arthritis worsened, as my older siblings married and moved out, and I grew up, suddenly I was the one packing the car. I was the one lifting the heavy tackle box of medicine and putting it in the car. The beloved 1978 Chevy Impala. That car had been redesigned the previous year. I decided not to trouble Jeff on Father's Day by putting up a picture of it. But look up the 1977-78 Chevy Impala. There were tons of them sold, over 1 million in those 2 years alone. The Chevy was Motor Trend's 1977 Car of the Year, but Dad wouldn't buy it on the first year of a redesign, and you should never do that too. If they redesign a car, wait a year before you buy the car so that they have a year to get the bugs worked out. I read in a magazine recently that's still true, as it was back in Dad's day. But the 77 was something of a wonder car. General Motors, in the interest of fuel economy, had downsized the fifth generation Impala and reduced it to something 600 pounds lighter, nearly a foot shorter. And yet somehow, not only did it have better fuel economy, it had, because of its boxier design, it had more headroom, more legroom, more hip room, more trunk room than the previous generation of Chevys. And this became Dad's favorite car of all time. He would later buy another one, and then another one. He owned 3 of them in his lifetime, and when he died in 1999, he still had 2 of them running. One of them went to my brother, one of them went to me. And in 1978, I was the one packing that car's 20.2 cubic foot trunk. In with the tackle box, a suitcase for each one of us, bags for dirty laundry, sometimes bags of food, pots and pans, toiletries, cosmetics. By then, we were sleeping in hotels. No more need to take a mattress. But back then, it was thought that people in the back seat didn't need a seat belt. That was wrong. But that's how we operated. My younger sister and I would lay pillows in the footwells so that the drive shaft hump in the back would be smoothed out. One of us would lie on the floor, one of us would lie on the seat, and we'd take turns over who got the more uncomfortable foot position as we went through the whole trip. And with all of us sitting in that car, the curb weight rose from approximately 3,700 pounds to probably something close to 4,500 pounds. Pulling that load was a 305 V8 with a 2-barrel Rochester carburetor. Art Bennett may have worked on that. And consider the weight now of the disciples' journey. How much did they have to carry as they began their journey around occupied Israel? Again, their luggage was defined more by their absence than by the presence of things. First of all, they were told not to go far. Stay in the southern area, the former southern kingdom area. Don't go on up to Samaria. Stay around the people that should be believers right now, but they're not. But go reach out to them anyway. Stay to the southern kingdom. Minister to the people that thought of themselves as good Jews. And if they went into a town and no one would listen, so light was their baggage, they weren't even allowed to take the dust with them when they left. They had to shake it off their sandals. Now, just figuring it out, if each disciple weighed approximately 150 pounds, the full weight for their journey was 150 pounds. 4,350 pounds less than the Bratzman family car on our trip. But you know, they had everything they needed. They were fed. They found places to rest. Their clothing, one set of clothing was sufficient. If things went bad, they could leave town in a hurry without having to collect anything. They didn't have to grab their bags, they could just run. And with nothing to load them down, they had the power to preach, the power to remove unclean spirits, to heal the sick, and in short, to transform broken lives. And we know this was enough, because in the very next chapter of Matthew, Jesus communicates with John the Baptist and sends him a message saying, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." So this trip, this ill-equipped, underpacked trip, was a success, even with Judas traveling in the party. Amazing. It's amazing what the power of God can do. I think about all the stuff that I packed into the Chevy's 20.2 cubic foot trunk. Probably all of it is gone now, 45 years later. The tackle box, haven't seen that in years. The suitcases, worn out and replaced, or not replaced as fewer suitcases were needed. Even the beloved cars are gone. All of them eventually sold away. I gave mine away to my brother because I didn't want him coming back saying, "Hey, what a lemon you sold me." And yet, nearly 2,000 years later, the gospel that those disciples carried and the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled them to heal people, that's still here and still being talked about. The Holy Spirit is the person of God that we must take with us when we go on our journey, wherever we go. The great Curtis Mayfield wrote about a train journey. People get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. As much as I miss the Chevys, as much as I miss my father, maybe especially on Father's Day, the one who delivered my father on his journey is still here. The Holy Spirit is still here. The Holy Spirit is still powerful enough to change the world. But the Holy Spirit will not be weighed down by anything. The ongoing love and power of God, the weightless, spaceless faith that lasts forever. That's what we should always make sure is on our journey with us. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board.